And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, how are things going? What's going on?
Trying these AirPods. How come you can't change the volume on your AirPods? What's up with that?
I don't know. You also sound like you're in a spaceship.
I do, so it sounds bad.
I feel like if you could figure out how to turn it down, maybe that would help.
Well, Caroline told me that this is way better and that the microphone is, like, awesome. So you're telling me that it's not.
I'm just telling you, it sounds like you're in a spaceship. I don't know if it's necessarily good or bad.
I mean, I guess it's good if, like, you know, if we're trying to do, like, 2022 Odyssey 3. Is that any better? I put the volume up.
Michelle, how does it sound on your end?
Not good, to be honest. Not good.
It does not sound great.
Yeah.
So this way overpriced product also is not. That really makes me mad. I'm going back to the old ones.
That's all right.
Go back to the basics, Joe.
At least you tried. That's all we can do. Michelle, how are we doing today?
Doing good this morning. You know when you wake up a little bit later than normal and it's so early that it's a little bit of a panic? So a little crazy morning over here. Woke up in a little panic, but we're all good. We're on the air. We're doing good.
Did you have an emotional evening last night and what could be Ben Roethlisberger's final start at Heinz Field?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
My dad and my uncle were messaging me because they've been huge Steelers fans forever, like sending me videos and all this stuff. And I watched the game with Junie, who works for the station as well. And he was all decked out in Steelers. He has bought in fake replica rings of all of the Super Bowls and was wearing all the rings. I tweeted out a picture. It was great. And just screaming at the TV. It was a very fun night, but to be honest, I was so tired I fell asleep at around the third quarter.
Well, it doesn't sound like you missed a whole lot. I'll be honest. I watched about, 12 minutes of that game and then said, I've got literally anything better to do than watch this football game because it was atrocious. Baker Mayfield, 16 of 38 on the night last night, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 46 times last night and ended up with 123 yards. It's pretty impressive to throw the ball that many times and end up with 123 yards, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice finish for Ben. How's that? Is that any better? Is that
10 times better.
Okay, there we go. Stupid AirPods. But I love the AirPods. Don't get me wrong. I will enjoy them with music. But anyway, you know, it was a nice scene at the end for Ben. It was also just a pretty bad night of watching quarterbacks play. But he was the better of the two quarterbacks.
Yes.
That is for certain.
Yes, he was. It is amazing. Roethlisberger, his average yards per pass, 2.7 average yards per pass. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that before.
It's hard to do. You know, they were just like, Ben, let's just throw it. Like, just throw, you know, as much many times as you can throw in one game. And man, he did. And you know, the crazy thing is, it's a very disappointing season. It's not a very good team. This is sort of like the end of the road and everything, but they actually, I mean, they're one Jaguars went over the Colts away from maybe being in the freaking playoffs, which, wow, if you're the 2 seed and get the Steelers, good for you.
Well, maybe in that scenario, maybe it would be good for the Titans to be 2 seed. Who knows? But yes, I agree. Good for them. Although, when you're relying on the Jaguars, probably not a great spot to be in if you're the Steelers at that point.
But that's all the Jaguars do. They beat the Colts at home.
Apparently so. Apparently so. Apparently it's been since 2014 since the Colts have beaten the Jags in Jacksonville, which is just kind of amazing to think about.
I mean, the Jags have had some good teams in there. And obviously, I mean, we all remember the the game last year. It was the opener, right? I believe it was the opener. Philip Rivers. Back when Todd from Jacksonville was like, we don't need no Trevor Lawrence. Give me some Gardner Minshew.
That's right.
But, yeah, all those years, and those are some Andrew Luck years in there. That's it's pretty remarkable. So I would think that that would end. That would be – I mean, if the Colts were to blow this and that's how they blow it, man.
That would be tough. No question about it. Now, kind of the interesting question moving forward is, all right, what happens with Kevin Stefanski? Is he still going to be the coach next year in Cleveland? And what happens with Baker Mayfield? Because it was pretty rough to watch Baker Mayfield last night and what he was doing. Now there are reports out there that he's going to have some shoulder surgery this week and probably will be sitting out next week. So I think there's a good chance we've probably seen the last of Baker Mayfield this season. But there was a point last night where he was 1-for-11 with an interception. He finishes 16 of 38 with 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. So those numbers still aren't good, but they weren't as bad as they were at one point in the game. But the last couple of weeks against the Packers and against the Steelers of watching Baker Mayfield play football, it has not gone well for number 6 in Cleveland.
You know, the hard part is, obviously, he's played hurt. I mean, I think he deserves, you know, I'm sure he has respect in the locker room for fighting through that. I mean, last night he led with the bad shoulder one time late in the game. Like, man, what are you doing? So he's tough, and you have to think that has had an effect on his performance, but it's still like decision-making is you know, how much does that affect decision-making? I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. Before this year, to me, it was a gimme. Good quarterback, good young quarterback, you know. Incredibly disappointing year for him and them.
I got a texter that says, this comes from Tim from Lewisburg on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, got bored watching the Monday Night Football game and turned it over to the Grizzlies. They are a fun young team to watch. Grizzlies' big win last night against the Brooklyn Nets. Ja Morant and company, I tell you what, they're a lot of fun to watch. A lot of fun to watch.
Yes, they are. I mean, it's one of the stories of the league right now. I mean, it's another example, another year where like everything is in the West, sorry. So I'm sounding quiet now. This is a great segment of, see, if I wouldn't have messed with the AirPods, everything would have been totally fine.
Joe, there's a button on the headphone cord right next to your chin, kind of. See that thing? Okay. There you go. Turn that up. There's a plus.
Anyway, yes, Ja Morant company looking fine last night. 118-104 win against Brooklyn on the road, and they look awfully good. Lots of fun. If you haven't watched Ja Morant play basketball, I would encourage you to do so. It's quite the treat, and you're talking about a guy that scored a whole lot of points in the paint as well as a guard. So the dude is pretty incredible to watch so far. Some news on Bud Dupree that we brought up a little bit yesterday here in the show. The first report coming from Scoop Nashville about Bud Dupree potentially being involved in an altercation at a Walgreens on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Police said the player altercation occurred at the pharmacy located at 1104 Rosa Parks Boulevard at 8:06 p.m. The altercation occurred between Bud Dupree and several people who were with him and two employees of the store. That's what is alleged to have happened. So the police are looking into that. Joe, at this point, there have been no charges that have been filed. So what's kind of your read on this situation with Bud Dupree and how big a deal this is or could be for Bud Dupree and the Titans?
Well, first, let's see if I can be heard. You hear that? Is that any better?
It's not a ton better, but we'll
not
power
a ton,
through it.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Look, I don't know with the Bud Dupree thing. Scoop Nashville had it first. Something happened. He was in a store. I want to say WKRN, you know, reported that he, you know, it started with someone filming him in the store. Like an employee starts filming Bud Dupree walking through the store.
Yeah.
Which I can see how that would be annoying. There's been, you know, if there's a charge issued, okay, fine. And is it a charge against actually Bud Dupree or one of his friends? I mean, you know, look, you're a public figure. This is, these things happen. I mean, it sounds like there was nothing serious in terms of injury. So frankly, I think this is not a big deal at all, but we'll see if there's a charge. If there's a charge, then, you know, then obviously that's different. And it would be very disappointing if he actually, you know, hurt someone through this, but there's just, there hasn't been any indication of, other than he was involved in it and they want to, you know, talk to him about it.
Yep. So we'll keep an eye on that stuff from Bud Dupree. As you said, no charges have been filed in the situation as of yet. Scoop Nashville had the original report, and we'll see what, if anything, comes from this with Bud Dupree. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Hey, Mike, do you guys plan to open a practice window for Derek this week?
Yeah, we've discussed it. We'll see where that goes. You know, he's doing some work today, and you know, we'll see when that window opens, and probably make a decision midweek.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his Monday press conference discussing Derrick Henry and maybe being activated this week in terms of returning to play. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. So Mike Vrabel, I guess, kind of disclosing as much as you would expect Mike Vrabel to disclose there when it comes to Derrick Henry in terms of him coming back from injury this week. I got to say, Joe, I was a little surprised that Vrabel confirmed that they were actually even talking about it and that they were discussing maybe bringing him back in terms of the return to play this week. Were you surprised by the way Vrabel handled that yesterday?
I think he paused and was maybe going to just be like, yeah, he's rehabbing. But then he decided to give a little news there. So good on Vrabel for that. I mean, why not? You know, there's a 3-week window. They started, by the way, is this any better? Am I any louder?
You sound great.
Yes.
Good. So was that, did you do something or is that because of what I did?
No, you did it.
Yes. Technological wizard. Yeah. Sorry about all that. Anyway. Yeah. You know, it's 3-week window for Derrick Henry. So, you know, you start the clock this week, and that's the 21-day period you have to add him to the active roster. So if you go to the end of that, obviously you could have him out there this week, not play him Sunday, which is still my guess. I mean, that would be my guess. I'm not 100% on that, but that just seems to be the way to go, especially considering what you could earn with this win. Because like if you play him and then you earn the extra time, great, but like you could have not, you know, you could have not had him in harm's way in full contact for that extra time. So then you're going to a week where you won't play, but you can still obviously practice. Then you go into the week leading into, you know, the first game. You could actually take it all the way to, if you weren't ready, you know, you could take it all the way to the week of the AFC title game. But, you know, I wouldn't think it would be that. So why not start the clock right now?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be playing on Sunday. You know, a lot of times we've seen it when someone returns to practice, they are in there that Sunday. Now, sometimes with the Titans this year, we've seen somebody be designated to return and they've not played that following Sunday, but I would not, if I'm a Titans fan, read too much into if he comes back to practice this week, that just all of a sudden means he's absolutely playing on Sunday against Houston. I don't know that I would necessarily read into it like that.
I mean, even I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel confident in saying almost all of the designated to return situations this year have involved a week. And then the next game they came back. I think there was one or two who did come right back. There's a way to look this up, by the way. But for the most part, that's how they've done it, is they've had the designated to return, open the window, and then it's been actually the next game. So, yeah, I just don't think that they're, especially if you were talking about like knocking the rust off, right? Okay, fine. I mean, I get that there's some value, but like you're going to knock the rust off and then take another 2-week break. I mean, that could just allow more rust to acquire, you know? So to me, it's a great opportunity to get them out there, start. It's kind of like a training camp for him. Now, of course, remember, Derrick Henry's training camp wasn't even like a normal training camp. It was largely individual work. And that's why I think the rust thing is sort of overrated anyway. I mean, once he gets the rock in this offense, he knows what to do.
How big of a shot of the arm is this going to be for the team just to see him back on the practice field? Like, you know, I think we all expect at this point him at least to come back and give it a shot in the playoffs. How big a shot in the arm could that be for this group just to see number 22 back out there taking some reps on the practice field?
I would think quite huge. And you're talking about a team that's seen more guys go down, you know, we know for sure, verified, a team that's seen more guys have to be used, you know, in games. But, you think about what that means. Why is that? Because so many guys have been hurt in and out of the lineup. Some guys lost for the season, of course. They just lost. Although Mike Vrabel didn't confirm that Michael Pruitt has lost for the season. He was having surgery yesterday when Vrabel talked. So that pretty much tells you what it is. So to me, huge. I mean, they've already got all this stuff going. They got their division championship t-shirts. They know what's in front of them. They're overall, you know, they put themselves in a great position without him. But then to have him back with everything else they have going on, man, it's almost too much positivity.
Well, I wonder what Schefter's thinking right now, seeing 22 back out there working out, maybe coming back to practice this week. Is Schefter going to be okay, or is he still sticking with he's going to be out the rest of the season kind of thing that he did?
That's a good question. I know that I saw that Schefter apparently was on The Simpsons, so good for him. but I haven't heard a lot out of the Schefter camp on the Derrick Henry front, so. Now, Ian Rappaport's out there, though. Anybody who wants to ask, he's like, hey, by the way, guys, once again, Derrick Henry coming back.
Rappaport just taking his victory laps out there and nothing to be seen from Adam Schefter. It is kind of amazing how you like go out of your way to make a big deal about that for a couple weeks, about how Derrick Henry is going to be out. And now that he is almost back, it's just like, okay, we're just going to act like that never happened with Schefter. It's good stuff.
And again, I mean, like, just go back to that moment. It was like, you don't know. So how could you possibly be reporting this? You know, I mean, the only way you could have reported it is Derrick Henry, his camp, his agent saying, yeah, I don't care what happens. We're not playing. Other than that, why would you do that? But, oh, well, Schefter moves on. He'll be Teflon on this because, you know, I mean, he breaks a lot of news and all that. But it's just like when these guys get into these little snits over dumb stuff, they should just, you know, set it aside and try not to, you know, overstep like he did on that situation.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, I had a bad dream that Deshaun Watson played suddenly. It won't happen, but it was still a very scary dream for the Titans this week.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, so you're saying you had a bad dream Deshaun Watson plays in this game. How about that? What if cool. that happened? What if the Texans bust out Deshaun Watson? Oh, man, that's funny.
Well, I mean, look, you should be, at this point, as we know, equally scared of Davis Mills with the way he's played as of late. So Davis Mills, Deshaun Watson, not a ton of difference out there right now.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, maybe you should be having nightmares about Davis Mills, Heidi. Like he'll be like the boogeyman under your bed, but then you think he's looking out one side, but boom, he stretches over to the other side.
Stretches over the other. He can never escape it. That's what happens with Davis Mills in the fold. No, we're not going to see Deshaun Watson coming up on Sunday. There is reporting out of Houston that David Culley will be back next year. So it looks like he is going to get another chance. I don't know why he wouldn't get another chance based on the way that roster is constructed. But apparently that was news yesterday in Houston.
Well, I saw last week or the week before some speculation about Jalen. Are you kidding me? Well, who's doing better with this crap, you know? Like the fact that, in fact, I think he's done a tremendous job. He's 1-0 against Vrabel. I can tell you that much. Man, you know, with what he's inherited there and all the turmoil, having it, your first training camp and you have to every single day answer a question about Deshaun Watson and your team has to be distracted by that constantly. And then, by the way, your team is not good. Your roster is not good. Man, I mean, I would freaking hope he'd be back. What a league.
Our buddy Hibbs texting in says, boys, after being home with COVID for the last week and a half, I've never been more happy to hear y'all's voices. Hibbs, we're happy you're back with us. Glad you're feeling better, my friend.
Glad you're feeling better, Hibbs. It's going around.
It is going around. I don't think there's any question about that. Continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, if Derrick Henry does come back to practice this week, how do you, if you're the Titans, balance, you know, getting him reps and what he needs to get ready for the playoffs while also preparing for the game this weekend in Houston as well? Now, look, I don't know. Maybe Derrick Henry is a part of the game plan this week in Houston. I have no idea. But let's just say that he's not. How do you balance that if you're Vrabel and the Titans of making sure you're trying to get Derrick Henry ready, but also making sure you're ready for a game that you really need to win coming up on Sunday?
I don't think there'd be any balance unless it's like you said, he's like they actually want to play him this week. I think he'd be on the other field. And it's just a matter of again, I mean that's he already was sort of he was kind of doing the Barry Sanders thing. Barry Sanders used to kind of do his own thing at Lions camp or he would just show up at the end of camp, be like, okay, I'm ready for 1,800 yards. Here we go. So I think he'd just be working on his own, getting ready in the sand pit, catching passes, all that stuff. And they'll get Foreman and Hilliard reps. And with those guys, of course, knowing that, you know, both of them have to at least have some inkling that this could be their last game. Although, gosh, I don't think Foreman should think that. But who knows? Who knows how they would decide to go about this? But yeah, I don't think it would really impact what the Titans are doing. That would be my guess.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and Derrick Henry on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also coming up next, we'll get into how the Titans have been able to successfully run the ball even without number 22 and what that could mean as he comes back. All that coming up on the other side. Referring a friend on FanDuel Sportsbook could be your ticket to Super Bowl 56. That's right. When you refer a friend on FanDuel Sportsbook, you'll be entered for a chance to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Super Bowl 56 for two. So don't miss FanDuel's biggest refer a friend offer ever. All you got to do is share your exclusive referral link right from the Sportsbook app. And once your friend places any bet of $10 or more, you'll both get $50 and you'll be entered into the Super Bowl sweepstakes. So if you or a friend have been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is easy to use. They always have great offers, and you get paid in as little as 2 hours when you win. Great place to bet on the Titans as well. I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. So if you're new to FanDuel, you can also sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and refer a friend for your chance to win a trip to Super Bowl 56. 4-2. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Referred players must wager $10 or more within 28 days after signing up. Bonus issued is site credit and is non-withdrawable and expires after 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. No purchase necessary for the Super Bowl ticket promotion. Super Bowl promotion closes on January 9th, 2022. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
And Mike, on those rushing numbers Chris referenced, I'm just wondering, over that time period since you lost Derrick, is it accurate to say teams have defended you guys differently, maybe a little bit less emphasis on the run, maybe tougher on the pass game, or no,
that's not accurate?
Would you say that's
something that you heard from somebody, or is that
no, but you know, just obviously Derrick draws a lot of attention.
No, the Dolphins and the Patriots you know, they most everybody plays us with, you know, the Steelers, you know, mix in some too high safety, but I mean, the 20 run pressures that the Dolphins called, I don't think they were calling them to defend the pass.
That was Mike Vrabel with our very own Joe Rexroad yesterday at his Monday press conference.
I heard a rumor, Mike. I heard a rumor. I heard it from Stillman. That's where I get my info from.
Yeah, we send to Jared Stillman. That's where we heard our rumors. What did you think of that response there from Mike Vrabel saying, yeah, not much difference in the way teams have defended the Titans since Derrick Henry's been out?
Hey, I'm skeptical. I mean, you know, and he cited the 20 run pressure. That's how the Dolphins play. But I've got some stats to go with those stats. We talked about it yesterday, of course. And again, Chris Harris, good job tallying it up there. Essentially, they've had the same rushing numbers, right? So 900 plus, eight games with Derek, 900 plus with the collective, eight games since. But let me go through the passing numbers in the same time period, okay?
Yep.
So Ryan Tannehill in the eight games with Derrick Henry. He's 172 for 262, 2,002 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. A rating of 90.22, yards per attempt, 764, pass yards per game, 250.3, okay? Eight games without Henry, 162, 237, 1,445 yards, 7 TDs, 7 interceptions. A rating of 81.99, yards per attempt, 6.09, pass yards per game, 180.7. So you're talking 70 fewer yards per game. You're talking a good yard and a half less per attempt, and you're talking almost 10 less in rating with or without Henry, which, I mean, I don't think that's surprising, but to me, doesn't that have to, at least in some instances, and maybe just overall, speak a little bit to defenses not being absolutely hell-bent on stopping Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman? I mean, you know, he rejected it yesterday. And I think, you know, you don't want to, like, take credit away from the offensive line and what these backs have done. I get that. But to me, I guess I'd be surprised if there wasn't some overall, over that period of time, difference in how defenses – and even if it's not moving the chess pieces that differently – isn't even just a little bit different mindset when you're playing against Derrick Henry versus, aren't you a little bit more frantic, you know, or I don't know what the word is, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you are singularly focused on 22, and we see it. Like, you are emotionally affected as a defense by 22, and we see it in every, just about every game, there's a tackle for loss somewhere in there, and they are fired up because they know this is the guy they have to stop. And if they stop him, they have a good chance to win this game. I didn't see when they got, you know, like a TFL on Foreman or somebody, like the same level of intensity. You know what I mean? So even just intangibly, which intangibles are, we're going to talk a lot about analytics and intangibles and stuff like that today. Like, that's part of the game too. So I have to think that those numbers from Tannehill speak to losing Derrick Henry and also what the absence of Derrick Henry has done to opposing defenses over that time.
I think, to me, there's no question that it has to be somewhat related. I would also be interested to know, you know, in those eight games with Derrick Henry and the eight games without, how much time has AJ Brown been in there for both? Because obviously that has a pretty big effect on the passing yards and passer rating as well.
No doubt. No question. And I can tell you, you know, I mean, so in that stretch, we know that A.J. Brown obviously played in that, you know, in that game in L.A. Didn't have like a huge game or anything like that. But you know, I mean, he and Julio both made, you know, some big catches in that game. We know he got hurt in the win over New Orleans. And, you know, look, those numbers for – that's the thing. I mean, you can pick through these numbers and say, okay, well, let's talk about the Texans game because Tannehill threw four – of those seven picks in that one game, And yeah, it's funny because those were brought up again yesterday by someone. I don't remember the exact context, but you know, Vrabel, like, he's kind of like, yeah, there's other factors. Like, everybody dances around. I think most of the team would be like, look, man, Des Fitzpatrick, yeah, the tough spot for the rookie. You gotta keep that in mind on a couple of those picks. But still,
yeah.
So AJ Brown, so he's out, he gets hurt for the Saints game. He misses that loss to the Texans, and then obviously he goes through a stretch where he's not playing. He comes back with a vengeance against, you know, gets put on IR, comes back with a vengeance against the 49ers, and is a huge reason that, you know, that they won that game. So in the meantime, you know, the Steelers game, you know, they won the Jags game, no problem. But still not a great offensive day for them. They, that was the Patriots game where they had a great running day, but they, you know, couldn't get much done at all through the air. Cody Hollister is out there and stuff like that. So sure, so you're right. No question. I mean, that's definitely, I think, part of the overall numbers in there too, not having 11. So it's never as simple as we want it to be. It's never one thing. I guess I just would think that if 22 comes back, your play action opportunities, your downfield shot possibilities go up, especially if you do have 11, as we expect him to have. And I think there's a little bit of that reflected in the yards per attempt, you know, more than a yard and a half difference and 70 yards per game difference from Tannehill. From one split of eight games to the other.
Well, I think we would also all agree that regardless of the defense that the Titans may be facing right now, it's pretty impressive they've been able to run the ball as well as they have without Derrick Henry, regardless of what look they're looking at. When you're talking about Foreman, Hilliard, McNichols, Titans legend Adrian Peterson accounting for some of those yards as well in this discussion, it is pretty amazing what they've been able to do without him. I guess my question is, how have they been able to run the ball as effectively as they have without their best player in the backfield?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think Foreman's good. I think Hilliard's pretty good. I think this offensive line has been one of the best run blocking offensive lines. And I think it's been one of the worst pass blocking offensive lines. And that is possible. You can have both things. Now, Maybe everything's starting to round into form here on that front. That's going to be a big key, but I think that's part of it. And again, I will go back to what we started with here. I think defenses can, you know, can play the Titans more straight up without Derrick Henry, and probably have to some extent. I don't have the numbers, the film to back it up, but you can play the Titans more straight up now, especially then you take AJ Brown and there's no one you're especially worried about, right? I mean, as an offense, you want to draw attention to specific people and you're hoping to influence a defense and create other good matchups and things like that. And if you don't scare a defense with anybody, then that makes it harder to move the ball on them. So I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, I think it is. Now, the other part that's also interesting to me to point out, and I thought about this again the other day when, you know, Foreman, the ball started to come loose and you were looking at it on the replay of, all right, yeah, the yards are looking great without Derrick Henry. One thing that maybe has been extremely underrated about Derrick Henry is the dude never fumbles the football, and I do miss that. I'd like to get 22 back in there to hold on to the ball, because the fumbling is – a little bit out of control with some of these running backs sometimes.
Yeah, there's very few fumbles. I mean, how many fumbles has he had in his career?
Not many
at all. So, and he doesn't seem to lose them much. I guess he had, I'm trying to remember, there was one, was it one, did he lose one fumble in a key moment early this season?
You know, I don't know. I can't remember. I have to go back and check.
So, yeah, not much at all. That's another thing you can count on with him. So, yeah, and it's a little bit, you know, Foreman kind of – I think he got bailed out. I mean, I think he fumbled before he went down the other day.
I think he did too.
But, yeah, that's – something they've emphasized. He got better after the New England game, but one of many ways, you know, you'd rather have 22 than anybody else out there carrying the ball for you.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in says, so if the Titans finish the job and get the one seed, who else are you rooting for this weekend to set up the best potential matchups for the Titans heading into the divisional round? Also, how stupid is the NFL for not flexing the Niners-Rams game instead of the Chiefs-Broncos or Cowboys and Eagles? This is coming from Tyler from Berry Hill. So who are you pulling for this weekend if you're a Titans fan?
Well, first of all, on your second point, Tyler, I don't get it at all. I mean, Niners, that's a rivalry. That's a huge game, and it has implications for both teams. And the Niners, you know, are trying to get into the playoffs. I don't understand that at all. The Broncos are out, so you basically just have the Chiefs, you know, plan to hope the Titans lose the next day.
Yeah,
and then you have. I mean, I get Cowboys Eagles fine. The Eagles are in the playoffs. But I mean, it's a, you know, like, I guess it affects the Cowboys seeding. That's weird choices. The Monday night game, absolutely. You know, I mean, Chargers Raiders, that's a huge one. They're both playing to get in, fine. But I totally don't understand that. As far as who you're rooting for, you know, obviously, if the favorites win, you are set up to play the winner of the 4-5. Now, if the favorites don't win, you know, if a 6 or a 7 comes in and pulls the upset on the 3 or the 2, you know, you're going to play the lowest seed. So, I mean, what's your, you know, hey, I look, what you're rooting for is for the Chargers to go beat the Chiefs and knock them out, and then you get the Chargers. That's what you're rooting for.
No, what you're rooting for is for the Steelers to get in there and then go take down the Chiefs.
And then you go
play the Steelers here. That's what you're rooting for.
There you go. And of course, the Chargers, by the way, you know, like I said, they play the Raiders in Vegas. So the Raiders beat the Chargers. The Chargers are out and would be on that list of most disappointing teams. But if, you know, let's say, okay, the Chiefs are going to win theirs. Could the Colts go win at Cincinnati, which is what it is right now? Right now, like if everybody wins, I believe we continue with Cincinnati as a 3, Buffalo's a 4, New England is a 5, right?
Yep.
So you got a decent chance to me of the Colts going into Cincy and winning, which would give you Colts to start. Do you want that? I don't know. You've beat them twice.
If you can guarantee me that Carson Wentz plays like he did last week, then yeah, you'll take the Colts. But that's a scary proposition trying to beat them for a third time, I think.
And it's the Bengals, their first play. That one just looks ripe to me for the road team to win. The more physical team against the team that is everybody's darling right now, tons of passing, you know, just a powerhouse passing team. Also, boy, their defense, questionable. Okay. But let's say that the Bengals win that game, then you're just looking at the winner of the Bills Patriots. Who would you rather? To me, if I was the Titans, I would rather see the Patriots beat Buffalo and take on and play Belichick and Mac Jones and company in Nissan Stadium. That's me. But so I don't know. There's no clear cut answer here. I would say though, I'd want to avoid the Colts if I were the Titans. That's just, I mean, maybe they don't. But if I'm a Titans fan, I don't know that I want to see going for a third shot at them.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on Derrick Henry, including what should reasonable expectations be for number 22 once he comes back. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The odds are pretty good. And ever since Derrick Henry broke his foot, a Jones fracture, broke the fifth metatarsal in his foot, finished the game somehow, and then had surgery on, I believe, November 1st, the thought from the Tennessee Titans has been that they're going to get Derrick Henry back either in very late December / early January or for the playoffs. And now it seems that they do not need him for week 18. Conceivable he could play this week, but I would say unlikely. But for the playoffs, they are expecting him back. And just think about where this could be headed. As Mike Vrabel alluded to, they could open his 21-day window on Wednesday, have him practice this week, some light stuff, just kind of get ready and either play in a playoff game the next week or play in a playoff game the following week And you know, Tom, that when a guy has been doing, all he's been doing is rehabbing, getting ready, getting in shape, rehabbing, with no wear and tear, he is going to be in very, very good shape to hit the field at a time when so few players have fresh legs.
That was Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network discussing Derrick Henry's potential return to the Tennessee Titans. Joe, I did love how, whether it was even intentional or not, I don't know, but he got the shot in there of, yeah, the Titans have always thought that it could be late December, early January when Derrick Henry's back in there. Just digging it at Schefter once again. Love it from Rappaport.
Well, look, Schefter deserves it. I mean, what is Schefter basing what he reported on? I mean, I have no idea. But Rappaport was wrong, though. It was November 2nd was the surgery. It was not November 1st. That is 1st. True. So there you go.
Information means nothing to these people. What's going on here? Liam texting in says, I read if the Jags somehow beat the Colts, a tie between the Chargers and Raiders puts them both in the playoffs, so they could just kneel out the whole game. How great would that be? Yeah, get the little Sunday night football action. You already know that the Jags have come in there and stolen the hearts away from the Colts, and both teams just take a knee the whole game. Game's over in an hour.
Why wouldn't either team want the other team, a rival, to not be in, though? You know?
I mean, I hear you, but you just have a gentleman's agreement for the game. You're both in the playoffs. And then that's you're all you both in.
Yeah. Roger Goodell would be super excited to see that. a Neil Fest. Wouldn't that be?
I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
Sure, there would be nothing bad that happens from that.
One time in the 80s, the Niners, okay, I was watching this game as a kid. The Niners were winning at the St. Louis Cardinals. Okay, this is how far back we're going. They were just kneeling out the clock. And then Joe Montana faked a kneel and threw a bomb. And he just overthrew with Dwight Clark or whoever it was. But I was like, dang, man. Like Bill Walsh going for a little jugular there.
Yeah.
That would be awesome if they did have a kneel fest and then late in the game.
Herbert one, just slings one.
Yeah, just Mike Williams streaking down the field. And then, sorry, Raiders, have a seat. Yeah, see, that'd be awesome.
Would be pretty amazing.
So the Steelers, yeah, and the Steelers need, so the Steelers need the Jags to win, but also then they need that game to not, yeah, as long as that game is not a tie, then the Steelers would be in along with the winner of that game. So there you go.
It's a lot weird that has to happen. We'll see what happens coming up this weekend in the NFL. So we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry so far today. Let's say he gets back on the practice field this week. And let's just say, for sake of argument, his first game back with the Titans is the first playoff game they play, whether that's next week or whether that's in the divisional round because they're the number one seed. What are reasonable expectations in your mind with Derrick Henry? Because I've heard kind of both sides of this. I've heard the side of, all right, well, he's coming back from injury. You don't really know how that's going to affect him. It's unreasonable to expect him to be the guy that gets the ball 30, 35 times and looks like Derrick Henry looked like before he was injured. And I've also heard the side of, well, he's either healthy or he's not. And if he comes back in, you use him like he's Derrick Henry. Like, what do you think reasonable expectations should be for Derrick Henry once he's back in there and back playing for the Titans?
Well, then there's also just, there is a little bit of, hasn't played in a game in a long time. So you expect Derrick Henry to be in ridiculous shape. And there's no reason to think otherwise. But I guess, there's a little bit of maybe hesitation to just go right into like massive carries, right? I mean, I guess the hesitation would be, yes, I agree. If he's healthy, he's playing. So why would there be a pitch count, right? I guess on the other side of that as well, every single time he goes and cuts and runs, then, that's another risk. But again, I guess if you're that concerned about that, then don't activate him.
Yeah.
Like the way I think it will play out is probably an intent to kind of share the workload with Foreman would be my guess. But, if Derrick Henry looks like Derrick Henry, and all of a sudden, and they're in the fourth quarter of a tie game or a one possession game, either way, I can see the Titans saying, okay, 22, here you go. And all of a sudden you have like a 10, 12 carry fourth quarter, which we've seen so many times.
Yeah, I would not be surprised to see that. I just, you know, it's difficult for me to figure out exactly what expectations could be, because I do. I mean, we've talked about it from the information that you've gathered from doctors on this matter. The simple fact that he hasn't played since Halloween, like, there is, I think, you know, at least an inherent risk of coming back out there, and hopefully with as big as he is and as much cutting as you have to do at that position, hopefully you're not in a position where you're re-injuring that thing. And I think that's something that you've got to be cognizant of if you're the Titans. At the same time, though, if he's cleared to play, like, I don't know how much you can operate of, all right, well, he's cleared to play, we've got him out there, but we've got to be really careful with how we're using him out there. Like, I just don't know how the Titans are going to handle it from that perspective.
Yeah, unless that's what doctors tell him to do. But I guess I'd be surprised. It's sort of like, once you're active, you're active, you know? And I think if you're also, from a doctor perspective and from Derrick Henry perspective, if you're thinking about that stuff, that's gonna affect your performance. And also, of course, as we know with injuries, anything like this, there's always that increased chance of injuring something else if you're favoring whatever you've just rehabbed. So, I mean, it's, you know, this is a mental hurdle without question. And as invincible as he seems, as much of a specimen as he is, it's still like, this is new territory for him. So there's that to take into account too. I could see it playing out. So just sort of like, you know, they're going to see how he looks in a game, and you really don't know until you see him in a game. And if it goes well, then I think by the end of that game, it could look pretty close to a Derrick Henry, maybe not 28 carries, 32 carries, but 21, 22, because they go to him in the fourth quarter. Because, I mean, what, you know, that's where he's just hell on defenses in situations like that after they've been out there for 3 hours. You know, and that's where he's so valuable.
We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Make sure you join 102.5 The Game Thursday for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cave. Drink specials. You can enter to win Preds tickets and watch the Preds take on the LA Kings as well. The Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cave, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 9 o'clock. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on Georgia and their rematch against Alabama coming up in the national title game. Also get his thoughts on the job that former Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith has done in year one with the Falcons as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.